And if we're honest, when we feel far from God, we don't feel like praying, do we? When we feel far from God, we feel maybe that we're not worthy of God hearing our prayers. And so we don't. And that's why this morning I want to look at Jonah and the way Jonah prayed when he was at the lowest point of his life. And that's literal, isn't it? He was at the bottom of the sea in a fish. He was literally at the lowest point of his life. And most of us do know the story of Jonah, although maybe not as well as we think sometimes, because there's a lot of good stuff in Jonah. And it's an important story. We think of it often as a children's tale, and that Jonah's like some mythical character in a narrative to keep children amused and help children to learn a little bit about God. But Jonah is much more than that. Jonah is real flesh and blood prophet. It's not just a character in a story. He's mentioned in 2 Kings as a prophet, going about his prophet's business. Jesus tells us Jonah is an important character. We haven't got time to look at what Jesus said today, but Jesus said when he was asked to provide a miracle or a sign to an unbelieving crowd, he said, "I'm not going to show you any sign other than the sign of Jonah." And by that he meant, you know, Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and then he came out and Jesus was going to be in the grave. And that was what Jesus meant. But Jesus would have seen Jonah as a significant figure. And Jonah in many ways prefigures Jesus. He was from Galilee. We're told that in 2 Kings, Jonah was from Galilee. Probably not very far from where Jesus grew up. So he might have been a big local hero when Jesus was growing up in that locale. When you think about it, Jonah was asked to go and preach to people just as Jesus. He offered his life up for others. He said to the sailors, "You throw me overboard and everything will be fine because it's all my fault. You throw me, I die, you live." Again, prefiguring Jesus. In the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah is an important figure. It's not just a man in a fish and a children's story. Jonah's important. But in case you didn't get all the little bits that were joined together in the intro to the theme with the sweets getting thrown around, let's just remind ourselves how he got into the mess he's in at the moment. God had said to him, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to them and tell them what they're doing displeases me greatly." And Jonah said, "No chance." Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, which was the sworn enemy of Israel. Treated the Jews dreadfully. To ask Jonah to go to talk to them, the nearest I could come, and no analogy is a good one, but the nearest I could come, it would be like asking a Jew in the Second World War to go to Berlin and tell Hitler, "God's not pleased with you. God doesn't like what you're doing." Can you imagine how a Jew would feel being asked to go and say that to Hitler? That's the sort of scenario Jonah was in. "Go to Nineveh and tell them I'm not happy with them." And Jonah says, "No chance." And not only does he not go to Nineveh, which was to the east, he goes west to Spain. He gets a ship to Spain. And there's a storm and he's thrown overboard because he says, "It's all my fault, you throw me overboard." And reluctantly, the sailors throw him overboard. And we see that last verse in chapter 1. "But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights." The Lord provided the fish. Jonah was drowning. Jonah expected to die. He said, "Throw me over, I die, you live." He expected to die. He was drowning. And the Lord provided a fish. And from inside the fish, we're told, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He hadn't prayed before in this story. With all the things you think he might have prayed about in a storm, about to be thrown overboard, he doesn't pray. In the fish, he prays. Why didn't he pray before? Well, he was disobedient, wasn't he? He wasn't doing what God wanted him to do. He was being cowardly. He was being selfish. He was running away. He was far from God. And when you're far from God, whether it's you or me or Jonah, we get out of the habit of praying, don't we? We feel far from God and we get into a vicious circle. We're far from God, so we don't pray, so we feel farther from God, so we don't pray, and round it goes. He was far from God, he was disobedient, he probably felt, with what I've done, God won't listen to my prayers anyway, so what's the point? Have you ever been there? With what I've done, God won't listen to my prayers anyway, so what's the point? That's where Jonah was before he went into the fish. And if we think sometimes, with what I've done, God's not interested in me, God won't listen to me, we're just so wrong. That is exactly the point that God wants us to turn to him. He wants us to turn to him when we're tempted to do the wrong thing, when we're even doing the wrong thing. He wants us to stop doing the wrong thing. He wants us to turn around. Those of you who know me know my favorite New Testament parable is the prodigal son. And it's a very similar story of somebody going their own way, saying to his father, who symbolizes God in the parable, saying to his father, I don't want anything more to do with you. I'm going to do my own thing. He goes away. He hits rock bottom, just like Jonah. Rock bottom. And he comes to his senses, we're told. And Jonah, in the belly of the fish, seems to come to his senses. When we're far from God, when we're not living the life that we'd want to live, and who does all the time? Not one of us. When we're not living the life that God wants us to live, and we feel far from God, and we feel we don't deserve God to hear our prayers, that's precisely when he wants us to pray. Because one thing is true, and we need to always keep it in the front of our mind. If you're far from God or feeling far from God, he hasn't moved. He hasn't moved because his love is unconditional. His grace is unconditional. His forgiveness is unconditional. It doesn't matter what we do or what we don't do. He loves us. He forgives us if we turn around. If we turn to him, if we come to our senses, he forgives us, he loves us, he blesses us. I've said this so often in sermons, but I'm not going to apologize because it's really important. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less, because it doesn't depend on you. God's love is unconditional. He loves you just as much when you're not close to him as he does when you are close to him. Because it doesn't depend on you and what you do or don't do. His love is unconditional. What he wants from us is to turn around, to come to our senses. And we should never be in a place where we think, what is the point of praying with where I am in life, with what I'm doing with my life? We should never be in that place, because we can always come to God. I mean, just look at Jonah. There's nothing attractive about Jonah from what we see. God says, go that way. He goes that way. He's frightened. He's selfish. He's disobedient. And when you read some of the other stuff, he's a bit racist as well. There's nothing terribly attractive about Jonah. But God used him. God loved him. God saved him. In the first part of the story, he's a long way from God and he doesn't pray. He ends up at rock bottom. Rock bottom. And then he prays. And he says, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help. And you listened to my cry. You listened. I prayed, and you listened. prayer is so important, so important. Jesus not only tells us so, he modeled it, didn't he? Jesus' life was a model of prayer. Now, we're not Jesus, but the Apostle Paul was similar. The Apostle Paul not only wrote in his letters about how important prayer was, he modeled it. His letters are full of how much he prayed for the churches he was responsible for the people he knew. He had a heart for prayer. Prayer is our relationship with God, because that's how we talk. We talk to God, we listen to God. Prayer is really important. I just want to quote one verse from one of Paul's letters in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." He's talking there about a context of people who are worried and anxious. Do you think Jonah was worried and anxious when he was drowning? And Paul is talking about that context. If you're worried about something, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, one of the really important bits of that verse is with thanksgiving. Because if we just come to God with our requests and our shopping list of, please God, will you do this? Please God, will you do that? That's a bit one-sided. But if we're saying, as part of the prayer, and at the beginning of the prayer preferably, thank you, God, for whatever. We can all thank God for things in our lives. If we start our prayers, thank you, God, for my friends, for my family, for my house, for my food, or whatever. And even if you're in difficulties, thank you, God, for the fresh air that I breathe, for the countryside all around me. If we pray with thanksgiving, it puts the worries and the anxieties in the right context. Yes, he wants us to pray about our worries. That's exactly what Jonah's doing. I cried out to you in my distress, and you heard my prayer. But as we go through the prayer, we see this thankfulness. He's thanking God as we go through this prayer. In verse 3 on to verse 7, I'm just going to pick a few bits out rather than read the whole thing, but he's very descriptive about how he felt. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. That's a strong image, isn't it? He's drowning. He's drowning. He's got water swirling around him, a storm raging around him, seaweed around his head. He is drowning. And he describes in his prayer exactly how he felt, graphically. What do you think that means for us when we pray at times, when we're at our lowest? I think God wants us to tell him how we feel. He wants us to be honest when we're struggling. It's not just Jonah. The Psalms are full of prayers of people, David in particular, but others, who pray that sort of prayer. God, I'm surrounded by my enemies. God, I'm dying, I'm ill. God wants us to be honest. God wants us to say how we feel in our prayers. And that's exactly what Jonah is doing here. He'd run away from God at his lowest point, and he turned back to God at his lowest point. And God heard his prayer. And when Jonah realized that God had saved him with this fish, he was drowning, that's what he's describing it. I was drowning, and God has saved me. He goes on then to say, on verse 9, "But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." He's saying, if I ever get out of here, And he didn't know if he would. He didn't know he was going to get out the fish. He's in a fish praying. He doesn't know he's going to get out. We know because he's written the story. He didn't know as he's praying, I'm going to get out of here. So he's saying to God, I will with a song of thanksgiving sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. But then he says salvation comes from the Lord. He knows his getting out is up to God. It's not up to him. Being saved, salvation, being saved is something that God is going to do. So, what can we learn? Here we are. This was written about nearly 3,000 years ago. Well, the story is set nearly 3,000 years ago. I don't know when it was written. What can we learn about this? I think we can learn quite a few things. In that prayer, he looked back honestly at what had happened. He knew he'd got things badly wrong. And he looked back honestly. So in the past, he's looking back. In the present, he's praising God now. And he's then committing his future to God, whatever that might be. And he wouldn't have known what it was going to be in the belly of that fish. He looks back honestly. He praises God in the present. He commits his future to God. That is not a bad model for praying when you feel far from God. When you feel you're not walking with God. You feel unworthy. And we all have times like that. Everyone. And when we're in those times, when we're in the belly of the fish, when we're in the raging storm, when we feel God's a long way away, we can be honest about what we've done. We can be thanksgiving about God in the present, and we can turn around and commit for the future. If you're feeling far from God this morning, God hasn't moved. And if we want to feel closer to God, we need to move. And one way of moving is prayer. If we pray, we're moving closer to God. And when we pray in our distress, Jonah says, and you heard my cry. God loves us, forgives us, and blesses us despite what we do and don't do. If he can bless Jonah, if he can bless the prodigal son, two examples of people who've totally disregarded God and gone in the totally opposite direction and done dreadful things, if God can forgive them, the whole point of the parable of the prodigal son was to say, God can forgive anyone. And he can. And he does. He hears our prayers, no matter what we've done. If we turn to him in prayer, he hears. And he provides a way out. That's what he did for Jonah. Jonah was drowning. God provided a way out. He doesn't always provide a way out immediately. Sometimes I think God wants us to learn things. Jonah was in that whale for 3 days and three nights, and I've no doubt at all. He was learning stuff. Because when he got out, he went to Nineveh and he preached powerfully. Jonah was learning stuff while he was in the belly of the fish. But God will always provide a way out when we've learned what he wants us to learn. Where are you this morning? Where am I? Some of us will be feeling close to God and some of us not so much. How do we help ourselves feel closer to God? One way is through prayer. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. It's unconditional. He just loves you. But fact that he loves us just as we are doesn't mean he wants us to stay that way. The whole process of being a Christian is supposed to be growth. That we don't stay as we are, we grow. God loves us as we are, but the desire of his heart is that we grow. We're works in progress. Wherever you or I are, wherever you are or I am in a relationship with God today, we can move closer through prayer. So shall we do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your undeserved grace, love, forgiveness, and blessing. Thank you that you provided a way out through Jesus for us to receive that undeserved love. Help us, Lord, wherever we are today, whether we're very close, whether we're a little bit closer, whether we're a long way away from you, help us to get closer. Help us to grow. Help us to become the men and women you want us to be, Lord. Not just so that we can have a nice, cozy relationship with you, but like Jonah, so that we can go out and preach powerfully and share the message of your love and your grace with those around us. We ask this in Jesus' name.